Today, this lesson, being on Sunday, February 27th, 2022, I want to continue this lesson on leadership, godly leadership. Everybody, it seems like, in our world today is looking for a leader. The world is looking for a leader. Everybody's looking for a leader. And you know what? There are some leaders that God had all through the Word of God, and He gives qualifications for those leaders. Our world today is in a mess. And I left for you in our bulletin this week. I was looking at an article this week on the top faith leaders in America. The top faith leaders. There was a list of 21. The last list I could find was dated 2021. And they had in there the 21 top faith leaders in America. And I put the website address on here. So you could go back and you could pull it up and you could look at it yourself. But folks, when I read this thing, it just flabbergasted me. It flabbergasted me. I printed it off, and the first thing you see is not a good sight anyway. But anyway, it had it on there. But it lists in there about these leaders and what they're associated with in our country today and how they name the name of God, but they deny everything about Him. They deny everything about Him. And as you read through these things, one of them here is she was named the president of the Catholics for Choice in October 2020. Prior to assuming that position, she was the reporter and columnist for the National Catholic Reporter, where she focused on the LGBTQ rights and reproductive freedom. Boy, that's kind of ironic. There is no reproduction there. They can't reproduce, so they just recruit. These are religious faith leaders in America. Okay? There's another one here. And he is, he's writing books. And he says here, he said, where some people erect an artificial barrier between Jesus and justice, my faith tells me that Jesus is all about justice. And loving our neighbors means waiting, wanting for others what we have for ourselves. And it goes in here about how that they're into the making everything justice. You do wrong, you get justice. Our Savior is about mercy. Amen. Folks, if you and I got justice today, we'd be in hell. There wouldn't be any questions asked about it. There would be, if we got justice for what we've done, we'd be in hell. And each of these folks, they've got their own agenda, basically. We got rabbis. It's amazing. We've got the first female bishop in United Methodist Church that is an open lesbian. She's just an open lesbian. She's leading it. We got all these others in here that are everything. They talk a lot about God, but they know not the God that you and I know today. They don't know the Savior that you and I talk about today. And folks, these are the ones that the world is looking to today. Our nation is looking for advice and wisdom from. Folks, we're in a mess today. Everybody's looking for a leader. But you know what? God's Word gives us the qualifications of the godly leader that He's looking for, especially in His church. And last week, I began giving you the list of qualifications that God called for, that God spoke of. And in our bulletin this week, I typed all those out for you. All 15 of those qualifications, they're listed. And I want you to look at these today from the Word of God. The leadership qualifications that God's looking for. Listen, folks, this is what God is looking for in His church, in the ministry, in your life, and in mine, as we lead people to know what Christ is all about and what the ministry is all about. We need to be aware today that there are some qualifications that God has set forth in His Word that we need to remember. Last week, we covered a couple of them. We covered about how that God said that the leader was to be blameless before God. They were to be blameless, not accused of all these things. When you read in these leadership things that they've got in here, my goodness, it's sad. It's sad. But the Word of God says they're to be blameless. They're to be the husband of one wife. Not the husband of a husband or the wife of a wife, but the husband of one wife. They're to be dedicated. They're to be set aside for that one that God has given unto them. They're to have faithful children. They're not to be self-willed. They're not to be soon angry. We covered last week how they're not to be given to wine. And I touched on this last week, but I want to remind you of something here. In the Word of God, I was talking to somebody about this last Sunday after Sunday school. I didn't get to cover it in class because it just ran out of time. But in the days of Christ, when they allowed their fruit of the vine to remain out and it fermented, okay? It was bad when that fermentation turned that grape juice into 14% alcohol, okay? I mean, that was hard stuff back in those days. Today, we're looking at stuff 50 proof. I mean, big stuff. And we've got folks today that are saying that that is a representation of our Savior and the blood that He shed for you and for me. There was no 14% distillation in my Savior's blood. Amen. There was no 50% proof in my Savior's blood. His blood was sinless blood. It was pure. It was God in the flesh. And folks, when we look at this thing, that term wine in the Scriptures, it could either represent that non-alcoholic, fresh-squeezed grape juice, or it could refer to that fermented type of juice which contained that alcoholic content that would do harm to somebody when they ingested it. And when you get to reading this and you see this, the Bible specifically tells you that that type of wine is not good. It's wrong. It's what causes problems. It was what they would give to people that were dying. It was what they would give to people that were in so much pain as they were dying that it would just put them out. They didn't forget. They didn't remember their pain. They didn't go through all that. It was used as something that would as a medicinal type thing. But men began to use it in such a way that harmed their bodies also. And God talked about that. He talked about it in several places. They became loud. They became boisterous. They became quickly angered. They lost control of their actions. They lost their tempers, their right way of thinking. They lost it. And the Holy Spirit of God was trying to show us here that this is not the way that the man of God is supposed to be. We're not supposed to have any participation whatsoever in that way of living. We're not supposed to do it. The Bible talked about in Romans chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and 18. I looked at this verse and I thought about this. And the Bible said, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ and is acceptable to God and approved of men. There is a manner in which you and I are to live today as Christians, as leaders in our homes, our families. And you know what? The man of God, God has put some qualifications on him. But you know what? God still says for you and for me, we're to be the same way. We're to live the same manner. The man of God who was called to pastor the flock of God must not have his testimony marred by the things of this world, by the mess of this world. He can't have his testimony marred by having his senses dulled, okay, with strong drink and liquor and alcohol in his body. God said it's not right to do that. It's not right to do it privately. It's not right to do it publicly or at any other time. And folks, today our world is saying there's nothing wrong with this way of doing things. But folks, I'm here today to tell you, God's word says it's sin. And we're to stay away from it. We're to abstain from all appearance of evil. And we need to do that. Now I want you to look at Titus chapter 1, verse 7. We're in this verse. We're going down through it. The Bible said he's not to be a striker. No striker. Look what he said. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward, as the servant of God. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine. No striker. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, it's just basically a reiteration of what he said earlier about not becoming soon angry and one that becomes physically violent with others who may disagree with him or cause the man of God grief in some way. The man of God is not to be one of these that goes and starts fights, and that's not the way we're supposed to be, folks. Now, you know what? We can be angry, but Jesus said, be angry and sin not. And listen, sometimes you may have to defend yourself. I understand that. But this is talking about one that just, somebody comes to them, don't agree with them, doesn't agree with the preacher, and he just blasts off at them, and he becomes very angry and violent. That's not the way we're to be. That's not the way we're to be. We're to take that to God. It's not a good testimony for God to be known as a striker. It's not a good testimony for God. But look what else the Bible said. Not given to filthy lucre. Not given to filthy lucre. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. That term, filthy lucre, it refers to monetary gain. He's doing what he's doing for money. You see that crowd on TV today? I saw where one of these guys has an airplane that costs so many millions of dollars, and he jet sets around from this place to that place and doing all kinds of stuff. Listen, I don't even know what I would do with $1 million. I know what I would do. I do know that, yeah. I'd have to tithe first, okay? And listen, I think I'd have to probably tithe a little bit more than 10%. And let me tell you why. Because if I tithe only 10%, we're going to have money in there to pay for the pastor's heart attack problem when he got that kind of money. So we'd have to give a little bit more than 10% to cover his hospital bill. But you know what? If you tithed on that and you paid off your house, and you paid off your car, and you bought your wife the shoes that she wanted. Well, part of the shoes that she wanted, okay? Right. You want to have something else to pay for gas and groceries. But you think about it. What else would you do? I mean, and these folks are sitting on money and bragging on it. Bragging on it. I saw a guy on TV the other day. And he's giving miracle spring water you call this number and he'll give you miracle spring water. He'll send you that you can be able to send him money later and it will quadruple. It will just give you hundreds back. I know a man right now that gave money to this group and he wrote a blessing prayer on his calendar up there. And he said something like this, Lord, I've given you $340. Now I'm waiting for that $340,000 that you've promised me from me giving this to you. Listen, that's filthy lucre. We don't give to God so that we get something back in return. We've already got more than what we deserve already from God. We give to God today because we love Him enough to do it, number one. We give to God as God hath prospered us, okay? We give so that the ministry can continue. Listen, have you seen the price of fuel for buses today? Do you know what it costs to run a bus route? It costs a lot of money. Listen, there are things going on in this world today. Everywhere we're looking, gas prices, food prices, everything is going up. And yet everybody's just wanting more, 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 more. The Bible said the man of God is not to be given to filthy lucre. This should never be the situation with the man of God. The man of God is not a God robber. Okay? Somebody actually asked me one week, they said, do preachers tithe? They asked me that because they didn't think they did. And they weren't trying to be mean or ugly. They were just told that pastors don't tithe. Preachers don't tithe. Listen to me. All the preachers here tithe. We tithe. I mean, we give. There are other folks that my wife and I, we support personally because we're friends with them. We love them. We want to help them. You can check, if you doubt that any of us tithe, go to the pastor. Let him get it and he can show you. But you listen to me today. We can't encourage you to do what God says do if we're not doing what God says do. And we have to be an example. Yes, preachers are supposed to tithe. Why? Because we belong to the family of God. And we're supposed to do it too. Listen, the man of God is not to be a God robber. He's not in the ministry only for the sake of greed or for what he can get out of it through personal or financial gain. He's in it because God placed him into that ministry. And if financial greed, one of the things, I remember Dr. Hiles, when I was in pastor school, he told us about greed and how he had seen pastors get away from it, from the ministry I'm speaking of, and went back to working in the world because they could make more money doing something else in the world than what they could preaching. I never will forget my boss when I told him. I gave a 2-month notice to my boss. And he came and sat down in my office. He said, you're going to be living from hand to mouth. Your family's going to starve to death. And the first day he told me that, I was upset. And I thought, Lord, is he right? You know, what's it going to be? And I got to reading again and remembering how that God had blessed us and taken care of us so far. He had already cut our pay. He had cut my pay, $600 a paycheck, to try to get me to go back and do what he wanted me to do. And I told him I wasn't going to do it. He said, you're going to starve. Your family's going to starve. You'll just be living from hand to mouth. And I got to thinking, yeah, you're right. I am. I'm going to be living from hand to mouth, from God's hand to my mouth. And his hand is so much bigger than mine. And you know what? We have never starved. Listen, we've never gone without. God has taken care of our every need. Every need. You know what? Because we trusted him. And God is able to take care of your need today too. Listen, don't be a God robber. Don't take that which you know you ought to give unto God for the ministry of serving the Lord and use it for your car. God will wreck your car. He'll mess it all up. You know? Give to God what is due to God. Give God your best and allow God to give you His best. And God will take care of the rest of it. I promise you, God will take care of the rest. The man of God was not to be given to filthy lucre. But look at this. He is to be a lover, verse 8, a lover of hospitality. Look at the Bible tells us about the man of God that's over the flock of God. Verse 8 says, it starts out by saying he's to be a lover of hospitality. In other words, the love of God should permeate the man of God's life in every area of ministry, including the area of caring for others. When Lisa and I moved here, we moved up here on the hill. Many of you remember, you were there. You helped us move in. And we lived up there in that house, and we loved it. But we began to pray that God would give us a place that we could have, where we could have family come up and visit, where we could have missionary friends come in and visit, and they wouldn't have to stay in a hotel. The church wouldn't have to pay for nothing like that. They could just come. We could enjoy the fellowship together, and we just love on one another. And God did that. And I remember Brother Mike Mangum, and he and Brother Clyde Davis came down to help me run electricity and fix up some walls. We built another bedroom downstairs in the basement so that we could have room down there for folks. I remember when Pastor Malad and his wife Sarah came in, and some of the other folks that come in stayed at our house. The Muldoons came and stayed, brought their little baby. And now they're expecting twins. They're expecting twins now. So they'll have three little Muldoons to run around with. But you know what? It just blessed our heart for them to call and say, hey, could we come and stay at your house again? And I said, man, yeah, come on. We got it downstairs. We built a fire down there for them and had everything fixed up and just let them just have the basement and just let them enjoy it. And you know what? We want to love these folks. I want to be a man of hospitality. I want folks to know that we love them. We want to help them. And the Bible said here that he's to be a lover of hospitality. You know what Jesus told his disciples in John 13? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Receiving others so as to point them to Christ. Loving others and letting folks know what Christ is all about. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not to have that haughty spirit and feel like we're so much better than anybody else. We're to love them. We're to care for them. We're to help them. Listen, we have helped folks here at this church through the food pantry ministry, through the soul-winning ministries. You know what? Our pastor has a love for folks. We've tried to help people in different ways, different families in different ways like that, so that we could point them to Christ. And many times I think about all these food calls we have, and we get to see people come to know Christ just because we love them enough to take them some food, some groceries. The man of God is to be a lover of hospitality. But look at the second part of verse number 8. He's to be a lover of good men. Now, do not let this liberal crowd today take this verse and pervert it. And they do. But the Bible said that the man of God is to be a lover of good men. In other words, the man of God should love the good things of God. The good things of God. The men of God that are serving God. And not hang out with that crowd and be associated with them that are doing vile and wicked things. That's why I can't be a part of some of these pastoral preacher groups and things like that. These folks are willing to compromise on a dime. They don't care. Whatever draws a crowd. Listen, the Bible said in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, the Bible said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, hang around some folks today that don't run the pastor down. Hang around some folks today that don't run the church down every time you turn around. Hang around some folks today that just want to talk about Jesus. Amen? That just want to love the Lord. Listen, the best of men are still only men at best. I've heard my pastor say that over and over again. And no man and no woman is perfect, no matter what they tell you. Nobody is perfect. But listen, we ought to love one another. We ought to love good men. We ought to want our testimony to be spoken of well with the Lord. Amen? Then look what he said, the third part of that verse. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober. Sober. Now, first thing anybody thinks about with that is not drunk. He's sober. He's not drinking. He's not drunk with. But this talks about that man or that woman who is reasonable and sensible in their manner of thinking. They're sober-minded. They're serious. They don't make jokes about heaven and hell and say, well, you know, we're living in hell on this earth. That's not, listen, that's not being sober-minded. Listen, we are to tell folks that hell is real. And it's just as real as heaven is. God prepared heaven for you and for me. He never prepared hell for you and for me. And God wants every person to be there. Listen, we are to use spiritual discernment in our ways of thinking. Okay? We're to use spiritual discernment. We're to use discretion in the way that we do our business, in the way that we handle ourselves. Okay? It doesn't mean that we're not going to make a mistake. But you know what? If we honestly make a mistake, then we honestly ought to go back and apologize and let folks know we've made a mistake. And I apologize for that. Listen, we need to use discretion. It means to be thinking or doing as God would think or do, not simply a temporal position and not just for a temporal way of getting what we want to get, but we need to do things the way that God says do it. Do it for eternity's sake. We need to be sober and we need to be just. Look at the last part of that verse. Well, the next to the last part of that verse. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just. That word just refers to recognizing that the standard that you and I, the man of God, the born-again child of God, the standard that you and I are to uphold is not our standard, but it's God's standard. We're to uphold His standard in our way of living. We're to uphold the things of righteousness, not unrighteousness. Listen, that's why we don't compromise on the Word of God. My wife is doing a little business. She's trying to get something set up so that she can retire from public work and do this from home. And she's making some coasters and things. And we looked at some little things. She's engraving and slate and all kinds of little stuff. She fixed them up. And we've gone around to some stores and things like that, just looking for examples of Bible verses on some things. And you get these things and you don't know if it's a Bible verse. You don't know if it's a saying. You don't know what it is. It is not from the Word of God. And we found some verses in the Word of God that would just be help to people. I told her, I said, let's use the Word of God. Let's don't use anything that somebody else is using like this. Let's just do what God says and make it so that it's right, it's just. God's man will choose to remain faithful to God's plan and His intent and not his own intent. You say, well, does the Bible say anything about that? Yeah. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Paul wrote here to the Corinthians church, and you know how liberal they were. They were carnal. And the Bible said, therefore, my beloved brethren, 15:58, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does the devil say? If you don't compromise, everything that you're trying to do here for God, it's just going to be wasted. If you don't compromise, you're not going to be able to get a crowd. If you don't compromise, folks won't come to church. Well, you know what? We got a pretty good crowd here today with not compromising, amen? And you know what? Folks want truth today. And if we will preach truth, and if we will be just in our actions, God will do all the rest. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Then look at the next part. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, and holy. Holy. Now, what in the world does that mean? What does it mean to be holy? The life of the pastor, the life of any born-again child of God, it's to be holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And you know what? That is just our reasonable service. That word holy means it should be pure. It should not be self-centered. You know what? It's to be holy. We get that thinking, that way of thinking, we say, well, he's got a holier-than-thou attitude. That's not what it's talking about. Listen, I am no holier than anybody else. I'm not very holy at all in this flesh. But what I am, God has made me to be for him. And what you are, God has made you to be for him. Holy means to be without sin. Now, one day, we will be without sin in heaven. We're being worked on right now. Amen? Many of you women, look at your husband over there and say, yeah, God's really got a lot of work for you today. My wife would say that about me for sure. Listen, that's why we stop watching the news on TV. Man, if there's ever a time you want to cuss and fuss, that's when you watch this garbage on TV. I want to take my shoe off and throw it in that thing. I want to take my gun and just blow it all to pieces. Listen, we don't watch it anymore. I'll be honest with you, I don't watch the news anymore. I don't even watch the weather anymore. I get so mad at him. And now they got these women up here. We're going to bring you a wonderful day today, and it's pouring down snow outside. Yeah. They don't have a clue. I think God looks at them in derision and just laughs. He says, I'm just going to move that little cloud right over here. And he does. Listen, we're to live a holy life, one that does not break the heart of God when he looks at us and says, that's one of my children. God wants us to live holy. And then look what he said. We're to live temperate. Temperate. That word temperate means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I know a lot of folks today that have no self-control, let alone Holy Spirit control. But we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God in our actions, in our decisions, and in every deed that we perform in this life. We're to allow the Holy Spirit of God to control us. He needs to be our thermostat, okay? He needs to be the one that controls us, our lips, our actions in all that we do. And then look what he said in verse number 9. He said we're to be holding fast the word of God. Now look at it. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. There's a crowd in our world today, folks, that want to tell us that everything we're doing for God is of no use. We're just a cult. I've heard that so many times. Well, you're just a cult. That pastor controls you. He doesn't control me. You know, he told me to stay home. I came in. He doesn't control me. He may fuss at me about it, but you know. But I did stay out 2 weeks. I stayed out until it started drying up, all right? Hey, listen, but I came back in because I was drying up. Listen, my heart was longing to be back. My heart was longing to be here. Listen, we're not to be controlled by man. We're to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us. And we're to hold fast. What does that mean? To hold without change the faithful word of God. I carried notes and everything. I've tried to clean it out, but I keep these old order of services in here. I got to stack up because they're blank on the back side. And when I'm reading my Bible, I'll pull out something. I'll make notes on it. And I was at the airport, and I was 10 pounds over on my carry-on. On my carry-on, it was 10 pounds over. Well, I took my Bible out. Okay, I took my Bible out, and it met the specs then. It could go on through. Because I had all these papers stuffed in here. And I've come back, and I've tried to take some of them out, except some of the good ones I hadn't done anything with yet. But I got a little stack of them in my office. But you know what we're to do? We are to hold fast the Word of God. Take time to read it. Study it. Make some notes about it. How can this apply to my life? How can it apply to somebody else's life? How can we be of help to somebody? Why do we do that? So that we may be able, by sound doctrine, exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We're to be armed with the power of the Word of God at our every disposal. And the man of God, whom God has called to preach and to pastor that flock that God has set before him, he's got to be willing to hold forth and to stand fast without doubt, without indecisiveness. He's got to be able to stand there and be able to stand in the midst of the storms and give that which helps the people grow for them. Somebody this morning came to me and said, "Preacher, I got this note that's from the Mennonites up in Pennsylvania somewhere, and it said that we can indeed lose our salvation. What do you think about that?" And I said, "It's a lie out of hell. Because if God could save us today and lose us tomorrow, he's not much of a God." And you know what? If that's what we could do, if we could be saved today and be lost tomorrow because of something that we do, that means that God's Word, where Jesus said that he gives unto us everlasting life, it means that Jesus was a liar. It means God was a liar. And if God is a liar, if Jesus is a liar, they're no better than the devil. And if that's the case, then we don't have salvation at all, and there's no way we could ever be saved. And he said, "Well, that makes sense." I said, "You know what? It's all right here in this book. It's in the Word of God." Folks, we need to get in the Word of God. David wrote in Psalm 119, verse 11, he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That's how we become good, godly leaders in our homes, with our children, with our grandchildren, at our workplace. Listen, Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, listen what he said. He said, here's the reason that you need to be a good, godly leader. He said, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, those that were religious, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of his own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.' This witness is true." He really said that, he said. "Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Why do we need good godly leaders? For these verses' sake. The world needs to see something that's real. And you know what? They can only see it real in the lives of those who keep their faith in Christ, their heart in the Word of God, and settled on the things of God. Let's be a good godly leader today, all right? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we lift up these dear Christians and these dear folks in Ukraine that are going through so much heartache right now. And Lord, the warfare that's there, I believe one day, Lord, is coming here. And Lord, if we don't get our hearts right with you, God, our country's lost. And God, we need some good godly leadership today. Lord, they need godly leadership there in the Ukraine. And I pray, God, that you will stabilize them and strengthen them. And those, Lord, that are saved and are having to take punishment for their faith in Christ, Lord, I pray, God, that you will help them to be faithful to the end in all that they do. Bless our pastor now, God, as he stands to preach. And help us, Lord, to be the leaders beginning in our own homes that we ought to be for you. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you. Thank you for being here today.